Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
Now, I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Happy hump day to you all. It is June 19th, 2019. Happy Juneteenth as well. Welcome to another fantastic edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It's an honor to be behind this mic, per usual, here at 1 p.m. to talk to the Mid-Michigan community and wherever you may be listening. We really appreciate it. All right, a lot to get to on today's show, one that will be filled with a ton of discussion. I want to weigh in on a few things here. Because yesterday was just an odd day when it comes to breaking news in the local sporting world and extending beyond that. All right. I want to talk about some revelation that really, came to the fold concerning the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, that being Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford apparently had an injury last year, and this wasn't just your normal run-of-the-mill injury that you usually see players play with. This one was pretty serious in my estimation, and you'll get my thoughts on that. All right, we'll touch on that. Also, I'll briefly touch on the NBA draft. As many of you know, the NBA draft will get underway tomorrow evening, and we'll have a lot of discussion. We'll hold a mini mock draft. We're not doing both rounds, but a mini mock draft on tomorrow's Current Sports show. But I want to make some points concerning what the Detroit Pistons may do in this year's draft. And it's really a crapshoot, because when you evaluate the talent in this year's draft and you evaluate where certain players are going to go and where they're going to get picked, for me, it's Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, and then everybody else. And it's really hard to point at certain names other than those three and say that, yeah, he's going to be a star, he's going to be a star, he's going to be a dud, he won't get drafted. You just don't know. You just don't know. It is so wide open after pick number three. So what will the Detroit Pistons do? What do I think they should do? You'll get my thoughts on that. Also, a former Michigan State wide receiver who comes from some pretty good green and white stock, he decided to leave the program and transfer, and now this said player is transferring again. I'll bring to you that news during our Current Sports quick hit headliners, and you get a chance to find out who that player is in just a moment, and you'll get my thoughts during segment B. And also, when it comes to the NBA, I do want to bring to you all some news concerning the latest NBA trade rumors, because this is like the second season in the association, right? And it's amazing to me how over time the NBA offseason has become so huge, has become so important, because mobility, thy name is the NBA. And there are a lot of moves taking place and some moves that are quite surprising. So I'll bring to you the latest trade rumors when it comes to the association as well. If you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can do so. You probably got this saved in your speed dial, in your phone, hopefully, right? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call in and talk to us live here on the air. You can also watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can comment below that video. And you can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your quick hit headliners. Folks, got some transfer news out of the world of college football. Brandon Peters will stay in the Big Ten and could see his former team as early as this season. Peters, now a former quarterback for the University of Michigan football program, he announced his decision to take a grad transfer to Illinois last night on his Instagram page. Now, the ex-Michigan Signal caller entered the transfer portal as a grad prospect with 2 years of eligibility remaining beginning immediately last month. His new squad, Illinois, will host Michigan on October 12th. So that should be interesting. Talk about a storyline there, Jack.
That is my father's alma mater, actually, and my mother as well, University of Illinois, and my older siblings, both of them went to Michigan. So if Brandon Peters were to somehow beat Michigan, that would be hilarious. I would be thrilled. I'm not getting my hopes up. I've never been impressed with him, but we'll see.
I'm sure your family will be thrilled, too. I remember you telling me that. Brandon Peters, now a member of the Fighting Illini. And because, you know, he's immediately eligible because he is a grad transfer. He has already graduated from the University of Michigan. Also, some transfer news concerning a former Michigan State wide receiver, Hunter Rison, is once again looking for another school. The former MSU wide receiver and Spartan legacy, who is suspended by Kansas State, that's where he transferred to, he announced on Twitter last night that he is leaving the Wildcats. This is what Rison wrote on his Twitter page. Quote, "Thank you to K-State staff for allowing me to be a part of this family. It has been mutually decided that it is best I find a new school. I've entered my name in the NCAA transfer portal. Best of luck to K-State in the upcoming season." Now, there's some more details to this and some more points I want to hammer home. Stay tuned for that. Detroit Lions QB Matthew Stafford, he limped to the finish line last season, quite literally, actually, laboring up the tunnel following a season-ending win at Lambeau Field, if you remember. And as it turns out, his injuries were more serious than originally reported. This is what Mike O'Hara had to say, longtime veteran of the Lions beat who currently writes for the team's official website. This is what he said during a recent episode on his weekly podcast with WJR's Ken Brown. Quote, "He had a broken back last year. Broken bones in his back," end quote. Folks, Matthew Stafford was out there playing with basically a broken back. More on that story in just a moment. The Detroit Tigers, they get a win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. 5-4 your final last night. They still hold this just atrocious, 26-43 record. And Jack, who helped put together the headliners today, just say he just writes in there, whatever, they still stink. 26-43 on the year. And Jack, I totally agree with you. So
just keep it concise, man.
Yeah, keep it concise, keep it consistent, right? The Tigers, they will be back in action against Pittsburgh tonight as well. This is a weird story. Washington Nationals pitcher and former Detroit Tigers pitcher, Max Scherzer. He suffered a broken nose when he took a ball off his face during batting practice yesterday. I kid you not. Scherzer was injured while attempting a bunt. The team said a CT scan showed no further damage. The three-time Cy Young Award winner was scheduled to start one of the two games of Washington's day-night doubleheader against Philadelphia today. Manager Dave Martinez told reporters today that despite the injury, he expects Scherzer to pitch game two. Martinez said Scherzer told him, quote, "I'm pitching," last night. So, Jack, have you seen the video of this horrific injury? Max Scherzer practicing bunting. He takes it, it hits his nose and then flies up and hits near his right eye, and he immediately starts bleeding. Just an odd.
It is laugh out loud funny.
Oh, it's pretty funny because you just don't see that. It's such an odd story for a pitcher to break his nose during batting practice and practicing on, you know, bunting.
Reason 531 why you should never bunt.
Exactly. You know, should tell that to my my former boss at Channel 6 News, sports director for WLNS-TV6, Fred Heumann, because first off, Fred is a baseball nut. Anybody who watches his sports cast at 6 and 11 know that, but he loves the bunt. I mean, he loves it. Like, I mean, if he could marry the bunt, he would marry the bunt.
Daddy hacks only, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you on that, Jack. But yeah, bunting is how Max Scherzer breaks his nose. He's still going to play, though. Still going to pitch. All right. The L.A. Lakers are scrambling, reportedly, to reshape the parameters of Anthony Davis in that trade with the New Orleans Pelicans to create the capacity for $32 million-plus in salary cap space when the free agent moratorium ends on July 6th. This is according to ESPN. Now, the Lakers were engaging additional teams yesterday to take on the contracts of three of the remaining five players on the team's roster, those players being Isaac Bonga, Jamario Jones, just those two, along with Mo Wagner. Now, Kyle Kuzma and LeBron James are the only other two Lakers remaining on the team's end-of-season roster. The Lakers are pursuing the purchase of second-round picks in Thursday's NBA draft, understanding they need avenues to acquire inexpensive talent and contracts that will count only as minimum salaries against the cap, league sources are saying. A weird story concerning Mo Wagner. Not sure if you saw this yesterday, Jack, but on social media, Mo Wagner, and this caught my eye. You know, I'm a night owl, and I was up pretty late. I went to the gym, came back, and I hop on my Twitter, and Mo Wagner, the former Michigan Wolverine great, he had to issue an apology because apparently he liked a pro George Zimmerman tweet. George Zimmerman, if you don't know who I'm talking about, George Zimmerman is the man who took the life of Trayvon Martin. And, yeah, there was this pro-Zimmerman tweet that apparently Mo Wagner's, you know, Twitter profile, he likes this tweet. And Mo Wagner says, I don't know how this happened. And let me get the official apology from Mo Wagner, because this, of course, is not a great look. Especially when you play in the National Basketball Association, a league that is, what, like 85-90% African-American. And we all know how polarizing the story of Trayvon Martin, the killing of Trayvon Martin was, right? Let me see, but do you have it? Do you have that apology? Can you bring that up for me, Jack? Because I'm trying to Google it here. I don't know if he deleted it, but...
Yeah, give me a second. I was looking for the article that had it inside of that, but yeah, give me just one second. I'll find it for you.
Because if we can get that tweet, I definitely want to read his apology here on the air. But it was just so weird, and I don't know how you cover that one up. I mean, it was your profile, and you know how do you back that up? Oh, I got hacked. I don't know. I don't know how you back that one up. But yeah, that was a weird story that also came to the fold late last night. Okay, Al Horford, the Grand Ledge native, Boston Celtics center, Al Horford, will decline to
to exercise his $30.1 million option for the 2019-2020 season and seek to leave the franchise as an unrestricted free agent this summer. That's according to ESPN. Talks on a new deal with the Celtics have perished with two greats of a gulf between what the team is willing to offer and what Horford wants on a long-term deal. Celtics president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge, and Horford's agent, Jason Gluesham, expected to restart talks again. Horford is entering free agency with the full expectation that his three-year Celtics career has ended. So Al Horford, it looks as though he will no longer be a member of the Boston Celtics. And you do have that apology tweet from Mo Wagner last night, Jack.
I do. He tweeted, "I'd like to apologize and say I genuinely have no idea how that tweet was liked from my account. I would never purposely like something so terrible, and I'm sorry to anyone I hurt."
Yeah, there you have it. How did you find it? I couldn't even find his, I thought he may have deleted his profile.
That's what I thought, too.
I can't even find his profile.
It took a minute, but how?
Okay, here it is.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it took me a minute, too, to find it. But, yeah, that was about, he tweeted that at 11:33 p.m. last night. So, yeah, I don't know how you backed that one up. I mean, it was your profile. Just watch what you're doing on social media, folks. And if you feel like there may be a possibility that this isn't the right thing to do, don't do it. Just don't do it. All right, and last but not least, the FIFA Women's World Cup scores from yesterday. We saw Brazil beat Italy 1-0, and also Australia defeated Jamaica 4-1. When it comes to today's matches, Japan will take on England, and Scotland will take on Argentina, both of those matches taking place at 3 p.m. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can watch the live stream right now at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can tweet us, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, happy hump day to you all. That's right, it is Wednesday. And I also do want to pass this story along to you guys. The Memphis Grizzlies, if you have not heard, traded guard Mike Conley, a player who was actually at one point the highest paid player in the National Basketball Association. So Conley has been traded to the Utah Jazz for Grayson Allen, Kyle Korver, and Jay Crowder. Also, the 23rd pick in tomorrow night's draft and future first round pick. So I love this move for the Utah Jazz because I believe that Donovan Mitchell needed a point guard, and Mike Conley can be that point guard for him now. He's a very smart player. He's got a pretty good mid-range game, okay defensively. This is solid. I like this move. I like Conley and Mitchell being paired together. So and when it comes to Conley, he finishes as the Grizzlies' career leader in points, assists, three-pointers, and also games played. And again, at one point, he was the league's highest-paid player. He is signed through the 2020-2021 season with base salaries of $32.5 million and $34.5 million the next two seasons. That's according to Spotrac.com. All right, so that's one of the big moves. That is one of the big latest moves, I should say, that is being made in the NBA, and you heard me bring to you that news about the Lakers trying to free up room so that they can, you know, bump up that cap to around $32 million, because right now it's sitting around 23 to 24. And also Al Horford, again, he's, you know, Grand Ledge native. A lot of people forget that. Grand Ledge native Al Horford. It looks as though he is no longer going to be a member of the Boston Celtics. And yesterday, I tell you what, the NBA offseason, it's really undefeated. Also yesterday, we found out that there is a beef between James Harden and Chris Paul of the Houston Rockets. The two don't like each other. Apparently, Harden went 2 months without talking to CP3. And CP3 has been known not to get along with his fellow players, his fellow teammates, I should say. So that's also an interesting story. Reports say, though, that CP3 wants to stay in Houston. And I won't imagine that, you know, Houston is going to, you know, deal James Harden anywhere. So they're going to have to find a way to coexist. So the drama that is the NBA offseason. And again, keep it locked to Tomorrow's Current Sports. We'll be talking all things NBA draft. We'll do kind of a mock draft on tomorrow's show and maybe pick a few players that we think are going to possibly blossom into some pretty good NBA stock. Because right now, I think the general consensus is that, you know, it's three players and then everybody else. It's Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, and then it's a crapshoot as to who is going to have a great career at the next level when it comes to this particular NBA draft class. I'll ask you this real quick, Jack, before I talk about this Matthew Stafford stuff. Do you think Nick Ward gets drafted tomorrow?
No.
Not at all?
No, I don't think
chance?
So. No.
If you had to give it a percentage, what would you give it?
Well,
I'm going like 25.
I'll say 10 to 15.
10 to 15. So yours.
I mean, it only takes one team to like you, right? But I mean, yeah, he wasn't even invited to the G League combine, right? Was that what it was?
I don't believe so.
Yeah.
He has worked out for a few teams, just like a lot of, you know, potential NBA draft prospects do. He actually worked out for the Detroit Pistons. Ooh, was that
I saw that.
Week?
Yeah. No, I did see that.
2 weeks ago, something like that. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm looking at some of the bigs that they have drafted in the second round. Mm-hmm. And guys I can recognize I would take over Nick Ward. Like, they have Naz Reid out of LSU as a big who goes in the second round. It's like I give him a much better shot at being an effective NBA player than Nick Ward. So, no, yeah. I don't really see it.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. Again, I would peg it at 25%. You're going even lower. It's we both agree that the percentages are pretty low, that you'll hear Nick Ward's name called by the NBA commissioner tomorrow night. So, again, keep it locked. I'm going to give some thoughts on what the Detroit Pistons will and should do in just a moment. But first, I want to get to some other Detroit pro sports news. And this is just a really odd story. And I thought it was a joke at first. When I went on Twitter and I started seeing Matthew Stafford's name trending, that he had played with a broken back. Because at first I didn't see it from like any official reporting accounts. It was just from fans on Twitter saying Matthew Stafford played with a broken back last season. I'm saying, what, a broken back? That's like impossible. But apparently, Mike O'Hara, who now writes for the Detroit Lions team site, he said during a recent episode on his podcast with WJR's Ken Brown that Matthew Stafford had a broken back last year and had broken bones in his back. NFL.com's Ian Rappaport described the injury as, quote, tiny fractures in his back. First off, digesting that, anytime you hear injury and you hear back before the word injury, that's serious. I don't care what you're talking about. We're talking about the spine, very delicate. That's one of the most delicate parts of your body. And to play a sport where physicality is its first name in the National Football League and back injury, that's unbelievable. For anybody out there, and I don't think anybody can ever and ever has questioned the toughness of Matthew Stafford. If you had any doubt that this man wasn't tough, well, that completely went out the window with this headline. He started 16 games in 2018 It was the eighth straight season he had done so. But it was the first time that he had thrown for fewer than 4,000 yards. And also his 21 TDs was his second lowest total during that stretch. He had 20, actually, in 2012. So, and also if you want to get real geeky with the numbers, advanced metrics also look at Matthew Stafford being ranked 20th in total value and 21st in value per play among quarterbacks. And many were highly critical of Matthew Stafford, and we were all kind of shaking our heads and you know just looking up at the sky saying, what in the world is going on with Matthew Stafford's play right now? Because it was a big drop-off. Last year, he took five steps back when it comes to his productivity on the football field. Now, he was listed as questionable in weeks 14 through 16, if you remember, but started all three games, even though he was listed questionable, as well as the regular season finale. And over that stretch, the Lions went 2-2, 500. Stafford threw three touchdowns, no picks. But, you know, the fact that this new revelation is coming out, first off, I say, why in the world, if the training staff knew that Matthew Stafford had tiny fractures in his back, had broken bones in his back, why in the world would you let him play? Now, and also in further reading this piece and listening to Mike O'Hara speak, apparently the doctors cleared him, said it wasn't, you know, they left it up to Matthew Stafford to play. They said that you can play on this if you want. So the medical staff said he can go out there and give it a go. But again, we're talking about your franchise quarterback, a man who you are paying a lot of money, and you throw him out there when looking back at especially those weeks that he was questionable, there was no shot that the Lions were going to make the playoffs, right?
No, they were.
No shot.
No, they were, I think, 4-8 at one point last season. It's an absolute embarrassment.
Exactly.
The entire way that they handled this situation. I mean, going back to the end of last season, the Lions had nothing to gain by winning games down the stretch, and they actually had something to gain by losing games down the stretch. You know, someone like Nick Bosa could be a Detroit Lion right now.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, they had a shot that game against Arizona. Whoever would have lost that game would have had, I believe, sole control over the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And they won that game. And so it didn't make any sense at all, and it's just another question mark in the first year of Matt Patricia's tenure as head coach.
You ain't lying, man. I mean, because, again, you call this guy, this is your franchise quarterback. You're paying him a ton of money, and you know that he's got broken bones in his back, and you don't go with whoever is on that Detroit Lions bench backing him up. That is negligent, man. It really is. You know, this is 10 times worse than, we had this little debate here on Current Sports about what happened with Michigan State football last season and Brian Lewerke and his arm. Is it healthy? Is it not? Don't get me wrong. I mean, an arm is essential, right, to the game of football as a quarterback. That's your bread and butter. That's how you get paid. But arm and back in the grand scheme of health, I'd take an arm injury any day over that of the back. And you know, we're talking about the NFL here. Again, as Jack just stated, no chance that the Lions could have rallied and made the playoffs here. We're talking late in the season, week 16 through 18, when he's listed as questionable. So we know something is wrong. We don't know it's to the extent of a back injury, but yet you throw him out there week after week after week. Wow. Matt Patricia, what in the world were you thinking? They dodged a bullet here. This could have been much worse. They really did dodge a bullet here. And this is the thing about Matthew Stafford. You talk about toughness. So this dude played with broken bones in his back last season. And when you look at active quarterbacks in the league today and sack numbers, Matthew Stafford ranks 9th on the list of active quarterbacks in the game today and the amount of sacks that those respective quarterbacks have taken throughout their respective careers. 9th. This is how the list looks. Number one, Ben Roethlisberger. He's played a long time, 2004 to 2018, 501 sacks for him. Tom Brady, number two. This is longevity here, 2000 to 2018, 473 sacks. Aaron Rodgers is third, 412 sacks from 05 to 2018. Philip Rivers is four, 04 to 2018 with 411. Alex Smith at five, playing from 05 to 2018 with 410. Eli Manning at six. Again, you're sensing the trend here. Again, longevity, folks. 2004 to 2018, he has taken 406 sacks throughout his career. Drew Brees from 01 to 2018, 395. At eight, in comes Joe Flacco, 08 to 2018, 333. And then you have Matthew Stafford at nine with 329 sacks throughout the entirety of his career, playing from 2009 to 2018.
Yeah, but not really, because his first 2 years he was basically hurt for all of them.
Exactly. That's another point. So it's that point. And then again, if you look at the time stretch here, that's the most sacks in a short amount of time out of any of the quarterbacks that I listed, Jack. And at number 10, you got Matt Ryan from 08 to 2018. He has been sacked 321 times. But 329 times in that time frame is ludicrous. There are a few factors here. I think the biggest one being that, again, Matthew Stafford has not had any protection throughout most of his career, or all of his career, in my estimation, as a Detroit Lions QB. That offensive line has been so, so bad. And the fact that he still is out there giving you all he's got, broken back and all, constantly being sacked. That's what has led to these tiny fractures in his back. Being sacked that amount of times, it's eventually going to wear on your body. It's absolutely a crime, folks. So for me, you know, and this is why, Jack, when I hear certain Detroit Lions fans out there immediately point to Matthew Stafford as to why the Detroit Lions are a horrid franchise, as to why the Detroit Lions can't win a playoff game since the early 1990s. Again, that's the easy cop out to point to the quarterback and blame it on the quarterback. Now, I'm not letting Matthew Stafford off the hook by any means here with what I'm saying. He was bad last season, but this new revelation that he played with tiny fractures in his back for my goodness sake. That kind of gives him some kind of a mulligan, in my estimation here, Jack.
Well, certainly for the end of the year, it does. I mean, it doesn't necessarily excuse his play at the beginning of the year. And the synergy.
That's what I'm saying here. Yeah. I'm not taking Matthew Stafford off the hook here as to how bad he was for the majority of last year. But this guy is giving everything to the city of Detroit right now.
Oh, it would be crazy for anyone to question Matt Stafford's toughness. I mean, for me, it's him and Big Ben and maybe Cam Newton, if you want to argue Cam in terms of quarterback toughness, but that's about it. And you could really tell towards the end of the year that the synergy wasn't there between him and Jim Bob Cooter, and that would have been, you know, the biggest reason as to why he wasn't successful, in my estimation, for, you know, the entire year prior to his injury. But, I mean, you can't question Matt Stafford's toughness. Not at all.
And looking at, you know, another guy who also makes, you know, this top list in the top 10 every single year when it comes to sacks taken. Also, Russell Wilson, my goodness, he's been sacked a lot throughout his respective NFL career as well.
Could you imagine how many more sacks Russell Wilson would have if he wasn't so strong and he wasn't so good at extending plays?
Exactly.
Because
they can't
protect him. They've never been able to protect him.
They have never been able to protect Russell Wilson. And when you look at, because he's number 11 on the list of active QBs who have taken sacks at 299, so he's one sack away from, you know, the number 300 here. But we're talking about Russell Wilson at 299, and he's played from 2012 to 2018. Are you kidding me? That is insane, Jack.
Add in on top of that that he won a Super Bowl ring during that time and probably right. should have had a second one. That's crazy.
Exactly. That's crazy. That is crazy. We're talking, you know, what, 6 years? 6 years, man. That's insane. 299 sacks for Russell Wilson. And he's not the biggest quarterback. I mean, he's short, but he's stocky. He's strong. He's short but strong, and that helps, like you just said, Jack. Wow, that's crazy stuff. So what is your reaction to this gross negligence when it comes to Matthew Stafford being out there on the football field, still playing, even though he had a broken back? I still can't believe I'm saying that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment there, and you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'm going to touch you on what I think the Detroit Pistons should do come tomorrow night's NBA draft, and I'll tell you about Hunter Rison. Yeah, the son of Andre Rison, former Michigan State great on the gridiron, and his son was a former Spartan, transferred to K-State. I'll tell you why he's deciding to transfer yet again. That and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard our thoughts on the news coming out that Matthew Stafford played last year with a broken back. Mike O'Hara, former beat writer for the Detroit Lions, who now writes for the Detroit Lions team site, he announced this on WJAR's podcast of this is Michael Harris' podcast, WJAR's Ken Brown as well. And, you know, I have to ask this as well, Jack. Do you think Mike is getting kind of reprimanded by the Lions today? He works for the Detroit Lions. He is a Detroit Lions writer now, officially, on the team's website. I think this may be a case of Mike letting something out the bag that he wishes he could take back now.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way. That it seems like Mike, reading this article for when I was helping out with the headliners, it seems like Mike thought that it was already public that Stafford was playing with a broken back because he was on the injury report with a back injury to end the season.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, it was never said that he had broken bones in his back, but I guess we know now.
I think that's his reporter coming out, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he writes for the Detroit Lions team website, and you have to, you know, you never want to put your employer in a compromising situation here where there's going to be a lot of criticism on the head coach and upper management and the medical personnel if you're employed by that team. So I'm sure that Mike is certainly getting a talking to by his superiors for the Honolulu Blue, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always kind of bothered me that teams have had their own writers.
That's so weird to me, right? I mean, you know, I guess you have to now because of having a website and you want content on your website, you want game recaps, but to hire
it's not
a guy,
journalism is the thing. It's PR.
It really is PR. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you hear George Blaha and Greg Kelcer with the Pistons, right?
I mean, sure.
They're announcers for the Pistons organization, so you're not going to get the same criticism that, you know, when you turn on ESPN and you have non-biased guys who are rocking the mic during that broadcast. So, yeah, there's a little fakeness, a lot of fakeness, I should say, that comes with that job. But you got a job to do, you know, and you don't want to criticize the organization or, again, like this, put them in a tough situation. So, yeah, and again, I just think that's just the reporter coming out of Mike O'Hara there. So, all right, let's go to our phone lines real quick here. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to weigh in on line one. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Mr. L. Martin?
Good to talk to you, man. It's been a while. How you doing, Mike?
And it's Juneteenth today, man.
Yes.
So that's an important holiday.
Exactly.
Here's what I want to ask you about. Do you ever watch the women's soccer, the World Cup?
I have not.
I noticed.
Full disclosure, the only game I've watched is when the United States women's national team, when they had a just a historic win over Thailand, that I believe 13-0 final. That's the only one I've watched so far.
That's the only one you watched. Was you impressed with them, or you just thought the competition was low?
I think it's a combination of both. I think it's a combination of both. We all know that the United States women's national soccer team is, I mean, they are the creme de la creme of international soccer, you know, quite the opposite when comparing the women's national soccer team to that of the men's national soccer team. So I wasn't surprised when it comes to the talent disparity, because, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, anytime that the USA hits the field, they're going to be drastically better than their competition, with the exception of France. But the the amount of goals that were scored, that kind of dominance, that was historic. Never before have we seen the FIFA Women's World Cup a 13-0 final. That was surprising. That aspect of it was surprising to me, Mike.
Okay. I was just going to ask you, how you think Brandon Ingram and LeVar Ball and Josh Howard feel right now to go to New Orleans?
Well, you know what? I think that those three players going to NOLA, it's a good situation for him. I'm not even going to hold you up. There is a certain amount of pressure that comes with playing with LeBron James. Eyes are always on you. You're expected to not just make the playoffs, but go deep and make the finals, right? So there's an amount of pressure that comes with that. You're always in the paper. You're always getting criticized. It's tough. So I think that them going to New Orleans, it kind of gives all three of those guys a fresh start. Especially for a guy like Lonzo Ball, who entered the league with so much pressure, a lot of that due to his father and his big mouth, right? I don't even go on that kind of rant.
Yeah.
But I like New Orleans. I mean, I think that those three going to New Orleans, it's made them a great team. Now, again, I don't want to say that anytime you lose a dynamic player like Anthony Davis, I don't think that you become better. But this team is still set up pretty good for the next 2 to 5 years, I think, Mike.
Okay, so they're going to go to New Orleans, and they're going to play, and they're going to be able to enjoy it again without all the pressure of being around in Los Angeles and with LeBron and Magic and Genie Bus and ESPN and all the Fox Sportsnet and all the pressure.
Exactly.
You can just
play basketball, unless LeVar Ball continues to just pop off, right? I mean, he'll continue to still do that, but I think that he has certainly lost credibility. Yeah, his father, Lonzo's father. But when looking at this roster, this overall roster for New Orleans, I really like this roster. And, you know, we got a treat coming actually on Friday. Isaac Constance, my former engineer from New Orleans, diehard. You know Isaac is, I should say, diehard Pelicans fan. He's going to join me on the air to talk about the whole AD drama, the response to it from a New Orleans fan's perspective, and what he thinks of the future of that team. And also, you know, hey, they still got they still got the number one overall draft pick. Never mind. They're going to go with Zion Williamson. So can you imagine Lonzo Ball on the court with Zion Williamson? I don't know. That's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun to watch next season, Mike.
All right, man, I got one more question to ask you, and I'll move it along.
All right.
Do you think Draymond Green was going to be better than you thought he was? And I'll take it off the air. Thank you,
Mike. When it comes to Day-Day, you know, and I made this point many, many times when looking at his NBA career blossom, Jack, nobody thought that Draymond Green was going to be this good. I mean, this dude came in. What was he? He was like a late second round pick, too. You know, he comes into the league, works his tail off, gets better, works on that jump shot. Loses some weight, gets in shape, dynamic defender, a do-it-all guy, and, you know, he triple-doubles in the finals. I mean, he's just an unbelievable player. Nobody saw Draymond Green becoming the kind of player that he is right now. And I think when his career is said and done, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, Jack. I think he's going to be in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
I don't know about that, but I think what's interesting about Draymond is coming out of college, I think if you were to ask a scout what his best quality is, it would be that he has heart. It would be that he refuses to lose and he'll do whatever it takes to help his team be successful, which, you know, if you take a step back and you think about it, that's like, you'd think that's the nice way of saying someone can't play. Like, they stink. Mm. They don't have a jumper. You know, they don't have any vision on the court. But, I mean, Draymond Green has been, he's, in my opinion, the greatest non-star of all time in the NBA, or at least top two with Manu Ginobili. I saw someone make that, I don't remember where that take came from originally, but I heard it and it made perfect sense to me. That, yeah. I mean, he's not a star, right? He's not a superstar.
Right.
But he is so integral to that team. He's been such a big part of them winning three rings in the last 5 years. And he's just indispensable with everything he can do on a nightly basis for the Warriors.
Exactly. You know, he does the little things for this team, and he is the emotional leader. The heart and soul, you hear that a lot when describing Draymond Green and his role with the Golden State Warriors. Okay, briefly here. Before hitting our final break. And again, if you want to call in, just like my man Mike from Saginaw just did, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What should the Detroit Pistons do when it comes to tomorrow night's draft? Well, I'm with Detroit Pistons senior advisor, Ed Stefanski. You know, he nailed it when he said this, and he really didn't say anything, and I'll explain here. He said that when it comes to tomorrow night's draft, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, he also thinks R.J. Barrett will go third. He said after that, who knows? I mean, we're talking about the senior advisor of the Detroit Pistons just kind of just saying anything could happen tomorrow. We just don't know. Just because this draft does not have any sure shot players other than those three that you look at and say, yep, that kid is going to be a star. So the Pistons have to attack this thing from need. Now, the goal remains the same for this team. And, you know, I've made this point numerous times as well. It's so tough being a Detroit Pistons fan because the Detroit Pistons are in that gray area, that middle tier area of the league where they're not great, but they're not horrible. So when you're in that middle tier, you have to ask yourself, okay, do we kind of just, you know, ship out what we got to see if we can, you know, rebuild and have a few really crappy years to become a really bad team and see if we can nail some guys in the top tier of future NBA drafts and see if we can build up that way? Or do we see if we can ship some of our big talent to see if we can get some bigger names to Detroit? The bottom line is, the Detroit Pistons aren't a sexy destination in today's NBA. They're just not. So the goal right now for this franchise is to try and maximize the what? You know, the competitive window of power forward Blake Griffin. Blake was great last year. Without him, they would not have made the playoffs. He was the lone all-star on the red, white, and royal blue last year. But when you look at the financial limitations for this team as well, free agency will likely only provide limited roster upgrades. You are not going to get some huge superstar coming to Detroit. So that leaves the draft and that leaves trades. My Pistons have holes at small forward. They got a hole at backup point guard. Also center, Andre Drummond. You know, he's so inconsistent, man. The biggest issue for me, though, I probably got to go with the wing. Because you traded Reggie Bullock. You also traded Stanley Johnson at the deadline. So Bullock and Johnson left. And then the Pistons were forced to start waiver wire acquisition Wayne Ellington at small forward during that stretch run. So there is a clear, glaring need. Not just at small forward, at backup point guard, and down low at center, but you need a player at that wing position right now. And that wing player has to come in and provide some solid three-point shooting. The Pistons were so bad at shooting the three, and you can't win in today's NBA if you don't have solid three-point shooting. So I look at players for me, North Carolina's Nasir Little, if he's there.
Kentucky's Keldon Johnson is another player. You're not big on Romeo Langford, Jack. You don't like Romeo Langford.
No,
his name has been rumored a lot as well to pull the trigger for the Pistons.
That horrifies me. I just think that's a little too high for Romeo Langford, just because I know he was a 5-star recruit. I know he was supposed to be such a great player, but I mean, let's be honest, he wasn't last year at Indiana. And I think 15 is just a little too high for me for Romeo Langford. And you know, for me, I agree with everything you're saying, but I also think for me, even though he may not necessarily be a wing, he may be more of a stretch four. I just think if P.J. Washington's there at 15 from Kentucky, you got to take him.
Mm-hmm. And there are many NBA mock drafts out there. I'm looking at one from CBSSports.com right now, and they have the Pistons selecting Nikhil Alexander Walker from Virginia Tech. Sophomore, 6'5", 204 pounds. He averaged 16 points last year. Shoots the three at a 37% clip. 4 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game as well. And then right at 16 after the Pistons pick, the Orlando Magic will be on the clock. At 16, they have Romeo Langford being selected there, the Indiana freshman 6'6" shooting guard.
I mean, to me, if you're going to take a wing, I Tyler Hero would be the guy I would want them to take if they're going to take a wing, just because, you know, comparing and contrasting him to Romeo Langford, you know, we saw something from Tyler Hero in that he can shoot the rock a little bit, right?
Right.
And
Romeo shoots the three at 27%.
Yeah, and I mean, there's room for improvement there, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's raw, and we didn't see it at the college level. So for me, at number 15, when you have not only a glaring need at the wing, but a glaring need for impact players, because outside of Blake Griffin, don't get me started on Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond.
Oh,
I can't stand
goodness.
Either of them.
The only
redeeming young player you have is Luke Kennard, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you passed on Donovan Mitchell to take. But whatever.
Exactly. That pick still haunts me.
Right. So I don't think there's any chance Tyler Hero would be a bust in the NBA. And I actually think he could improve a lot, because he's going to come into the NBA being able to shoot, right? But he might be able to develop a game playing off the ball, might be able to finish at the rim. Romeo Langford coming to the NBA, I don't know if he can do anything. Like, he's got a greater chance of being a bust, right?
Well, you know, he played the season with an injured hand as well last year. And that certainly hurt his shooting. He's a guard. He's got size. I mean, 6'6",
yep.
215 pounds. That's an NBA body.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think there's some room there. I think he's got a high ceiling, I think.
Yeah, but again, I mean, I didn't know about the hand injury, but still,
yeah.
The only thing you can sell on Romeo Langford is potential.
Right.
Not production at the college level.
Yeah,
so I don't know if that appeals to me.
And it's so crazy, too. That's the thing about the NBA draft as well. You see great college players sometimes go to the league, a lot of times go to the league, and just can't figure the game out. You know, it's a different game. And then you see, sometimes you see a player who's an average college player just reach the next level and just, through a combination of hard work and a lot of potential, blossom. So you just don't know, especially with this draft. It's just kind of up in the air. P.J. Washington, I'm seeing here on a few mock drafts, I just don't know if P.J. is going to fall to 15.
No, you're probably right. I haven't seen any mock draft yet where he's gotten to 15. He's been picked right around 12 or 13, but that would be my dream scenario.
Definitely. Yeah, if he's there, I'll be happy with P.J. Washington. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I want to make a point concerning Hunter Rison, the former Michigan State wide receiver who, you know, transferred to K-State and now is deciding to transfer yet again. We'll be right back. All right, to close out the show with what, less than 5 minutes left here, I just briefly want to touch on Hunter Rison. If you have not heard, the former Michigan State wide receiver and son of some pretty good Spartan stock, right? Andre Bad Moon Rison. Hunter, he decided to transfer from Michigan State, and he ended up transferring to Kansas State.
And this just kind of came out of nowhere for me. I was very surprised to learn yesterday that Hunter is deciding to transfer for now a second time, in which he will be playing for his third team. Now, he didn't suit up and play for K-State. Of course, you have to sit out after you transfer. That first time, you got to sit out an entire year. And he tweeted this yesterday saying, quote, "Thank you, K-State staff, for allowing me to be a part of this family. Excuse me. It has been mutually decided that it's best I find a new school. I've entered my name in the NCAA transfer portal. Best of luck to K-State this upcoming season." So he tweeted that last night, yesterday evening at around 7 p.m., 6:50 to be exact. And the thing that makes this interesting, not just the fact that Andre is deciding to transfer Hunter is deciding to transfer again, but the fact that he also had some legal troubles at K-State. And if you remember, not sure if many remember this, back in April, he was suspended by K-State after being arrested for domestic battery. Now, K-State coach Chris Kilman, he said in a press release at the time, "Our program will be one that is built on hard work and integrity and doing things the right way. We have extremely high expectations for our players on and off the field." And then Rizin countered on Twitter a little after that saying, quote, "This will be my only response. I will continue to be myself, a man of God, as well as a great student athlete at this university. I have done nothing wrong." Proverbs 2:11. So no criminal charges have been filed against Rizin, and his first court hearing in a civil case is scheduled for July 16th. But, and I'll expound upon this due to time on tomorrow's show, but it's just a bad look right now. Anytime you transfer more than once, especially when it comes to Hunter's case, where he's dealing with some legal issues. Boy, if he would, it always just makes me think what could have been if he would just stayed here at Michigan State. So we'll leave the show with that tomorrow. Until then, folks, have a great Wednesday evening and be easy, people.